guess what day it is.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
West Virginia is a working class state. And what the people of West Virginia said tonight is that we need an economy that works for all of us, not just the 1%.
In the last day, two national polls have us beating Trump by bigger margins than Secretary Clinton. Four statewide polls. But it is not only national polls where we defeat Trump by bigger numbers than Secretary Clinton. It is state poll after state poll after state poll.
And it's Gladys and it's Myrtle at the deli. I picked up my dry cleaning and they said, Bernie Sanders, don't you quit. Don't you quit. Bernie Sanders touting West Virginia from Oregon. What? But Bernie won't go away. Bernie is not leaving. Bernie is Glenn Close in the tub at Fatal Attraction.
No kidding.
Just when she thought she had him, he sits up in the tub and he's got a knife. Look out. He's going to boil your bunny, Hillary. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
That's a great analogy.
Yes, he's Glenn Close.
He just won't go away.
He's not dead yet.
No.
I will not leave until my sandwich is done. I like him. Look, I like him. Look, the other day there was a study, and I love the studies. The other day there was a study that said, and this is a bipartisan, we're staying out of it, we're just doing the math group, said his plan for free college tuition and guaranteed health care for everybody and puppies and kittens, $19 trillion additional debt.
Oh.
$19 trillion with a T.
Well, you know what, though? At least he's coming up with a number as opposed to, I'll raise taxes for the rich. Ah, no, I won't. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I will. Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, the Trumpster. You know, I was talking to John DeCosta about this. John DeCosta here this morning. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. Good talking to you. John will be announcing the finalists for karaoke later in the show.
Yes.
So you realize all of the mess that we're in, all of the mess that we're in, with the exception of the fog, is Orion Samuelson's fault.
What? Oh, because you think this goes all the way back to Barack Obama's Senate seat.
Right. And I'm not knocking Obama as president. But this is Orion's fault. Now, if Orion were here this morning, he could try and defend himself. But you can't get Orion up at this hour anymore. He's all home waiting for a shrimp cocktail right now, aren't you? Isn't that what you're doing right now? Like, he's not even listening to the show. He's in the business office.
He's got someone else pumped into those headphones.
Oh, he's doing an interview now? Here's what happened, for those who have forgotten.
Oh, yes. He's got his headphones off now.
Yeah. And Big O, can you hear me?
I'm trying to figure out how to get on and hear you, and I'm not hearing you through the headphones.
Can you hear me now?
I'll have to put my engineering skills to work.
Can you hear me now? Apparently you can.
No.
All right, I'm sure we've got our Cracker Jack engineering team running in to help him right now. But here's what happened. Well, let's do traffic. Let's do traffic,
okay.
And then I'll explain how the political mess we're in is Orion Samuelson's fault. Steve Cochran Show, number 647, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. If you're downstate today, Peoria and Central Illinois, looks like there may be some nasty weather midday, so make a note of that. Orion Samuelson, nice to have you in the building today. How are you?
As I say, driving the 52 miles in from Huntley, I had no fog problem at all.
So. Very weird, because coming in from the west, it was all fogged in.
Yep.
All right, so you realize that all the political problems we have in America are your fault. You know that, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, let me explain it to you then.
Okay, I'm listening.
Here's what happened. You go back, and by the way, I'm not taking sides on any of this. So for those of you who want to line up and think I'm anti-Obama or I'm anti-Republican, no, I'm only anti-Trump. Okay, so here's what happened. Orion Samuelson is in the midst of his stellar, incredible career. And a guy named Jack Ryan's running for Senate. And Jack Ryan's wife, Jerry Ryan, hottie.
Actress.
Mm-hmm. And Jack Ryan have split up. And I don't know if they were officially divorced at that point or not. I think they were. Maybe it was part of the divorce settlement or something.
Yeah, they were separated.
So somebody leaks that they had gone to sex clubs. And Jack Ryan pulls out of the race because at that point it's a scandal. Now, if you bring that up, you go up 10 points. But back then it was an issue. So Orion gets approached to run for the Senate. Now, at that point, Barack Obama was in the Illinois State Senate.
Correct.
And nobody could pronounce his name. Nobody knew who he was, except for a few people who thought, well, this guy's going to be something else someday.
I remember the first press conference I ever covered with Barack Obama, I think three reporters were there.
Yeah, and they thought his name was Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have I got this right so far, O?
Yeah, pretty much so. Mike Ditka was asked before I was asked.
Right, and then they came to their senses and they asked you. And so they brought it up to Orion, and I talked to Orion about this. And he was very measured in how he, you know, thought about whether he'd do it or not do it, but they wanted him to run for Senate. I'm here to tell you right now, if Orion runs for Senate, was that in 04?
Yes, right.
If Orion runs for Senate in 04, I'm here to tell you, he wins. He wins. I'm promising you he wins.
And he would have only had 3 months of campaigning.
And not only does he win, his win would have changed the course of history. Here's why. If he wins, Obama, and again, this is not a knock on Obama. This is just history here. If he wins, Obama cannot win the White House until at least 2012. Because keep in mind, he's in the Illinois State Senate. He's not in the United States Senate. He doesn't have a national platform. So he would have to find a route, a way to a national platform. So it's at least 2012. That could stem the tide of the Tea Party. That could stem the tide of the joke that we have in Congress that wouldn't work with the president. Of course, Obama as president wouldn't work with Congress. That stops this quagmire we have in Congress. And that all leads up to where we are now. You can't have a Donald Trump unless all of America is angry. You know why America is angry? Because Orion didn't run.
Right. And I guarantee you, you probably would be here to guarantee that Orion would have gotten more than Alan Keyes, measly 27% of the vote.
Alan Keyes didn't even live here. He got a post office box at a UPS center.
Right, he lived in Maryland. Yeah,
I'm telling you, Orion would have won, and whether he does one term, two terms, maybe he's still there. But whatever he does, we would have missed him here, but it would have changed the course of history. Now, you might be saying, well, who talked him out of it? Me?
No.
Well, it's one of the people that said, I'd hate to lose you, man. Wouldn't want to lose you here.
So it's essentially your fault.
It's my fault.
God.
Well, let me correct some of it.
I can't believe I didn't have any facts perfectly right there, because I don't exaggerate. You know that.
I know you don't. But first of all, I don't think I would have beaten Barack Obama, because that means you beat the Cook County Democratic machine.
Which you would have done.
Real challenge. But downstate, I think I would have been okay.
You would have won.
And during the 4 days that...
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
During the 4 days I was considered to be a possible candidate, I was astounded at the number of emails and phone calls from people saying, we'll hold a coffee, we'll hold this, we'll hold that. Yeah. Because, you know, one of my questions, I said, I am not a millionaire. I'm not even close to being a millionaire. I could not go into a campaign and come out of it with millions of dollars of debt. So understand that.
Right.
And they said, well, we think with 3 months to go, we could do this for $9 million, and we'll give you the first million. I said,
where's the other eight come from? We got to raise it.
Where's the coming from? So, and of course, the person behind the scenes who probably had a lot of impact on the decision was my wife, Gloria.
Right.
But in May of that year, I had throat surgery to stop flesh-eating bacteria in my throat, and that had been 3 months before this approach was made. And so when actually the meeting took place at Denny Hastert's farm home out at Plano, we were there for a Sunday afternoon to talk about it.
Right, this is when he was speaker, and obviously long before any of the troubles came up.
Yeah, right. And so when we left, he said he was ready to support me, and I said, well, I think I'm ready too, but my doctors will decide. And so the next morning when I called the doctor, he picked up the phone because he knew who was on the phone. His first line was, Samuelson, what in the hell are you thinking?
Well, I still say I'm right. The course of history was changed.
You know, on presidential election days, I have gotten 30 or 40 emails saying the same thing.
So, not as crazy as I appear to be. Nice to have you in the building. What are you doing today? Just doing some taping for the weekend?
Doing taping for the weekend. I'm going to stop by your show at 8:40.
All right, good.
So look forward to chatting with you, sir.
See you in a bit. That's Orion Samuelson, who, again, could have saved America but chose not to.
You might have something there. Your facts were pretty right on, I have to say.
Look, the dominoes would have fallen in a particular way.
He's but, not listening know, anymore, is he? He should have run.
But you no, shouldn't feel guilty at all, Big O.
He's on with Eric and Kathy.
Yeah,
he's doing multiple.
No, never, never.
Yeah, he's got Steve Harvey in 10 minutes. Right. It's 6:27. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And the Steve Cochran Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on a foggy Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN. Joe, what are you going to sing for us?
Just me and you and the lights down low.
We're slow dancing. Swaying to the music, slow dancing, just me and my girl.
You gonna do a little Prince for us?
Never meant to cause you any sorrow. Never meant to cause you any pain. Only want to see you laughing in the purple rain.
Purple rain, purple rain.
Prince weren't dead, it would have killed him. Carolyn, what will you be singing?
Someday, when I'm awfully low.
When the world is cold. I will feel a glow.
Just thinking of you. And the way you look tonight.
Karaoke. People singing in their cars. Second annual karaoke. Finalists will be announced today. Here's a little sampling. We'll give you the finalists' names. Well, John will give those to you later in the show. And we'll also remind you about the Rosemont Show on Sunday night, where our karaoke winner will be performing live on stage with John.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
6:41. Steve Cochran Show continues with Karen Conte. We've got a bunch of legal stories to hit today. And in about 10 minutes or so, we will tell you. Well, you know what? I'm going to put this off a little bit. I was going to say we'd do the finalists for karaoke this hour, but we're going to wait till after 7. Okay? Thanks for showing up at our show meeting live on the air. At K Conte Law is where you follow Karen Conte on social media. How do we get a hold of you otherwise, Karen? And good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It's 312-332-7800, or you can email me at kconte@kcontelaw.com.
So are we getting El Chapo?
I think we're going to get El Chapo. Yeah, I think we are. You know, all this extradition stuff, it's just very political in nature. You know, we have all kinds of charges here pending for him, and I think the government before was not very interested in sending him here, but after the escape, I think it made them look kind of bad, and then we put on the power play. So I think that's going to be in the works. We may even get him in Chicago, which would be very interesting, because that's really where he did a lot of damage as far as drug sales. So I'd say within about 2 or 3 months, we may have him here trying, having him in his first court appearance.
But then we need him. He's got to be in a supermax somewhere, doesn't he?
Well, he'll end up somewhere in Florence, Colorado. That's where the supermax is, where you literally have to go underground to get into the prison. That's probably where he'll end up with the Unabomber and all of those.
I wouldn't put him underground. That guy goes underground. He gets out.
You're right.
Underground's where he works his best. Your old, I don't even know how to describe him. You crossed paths with this guy in a case, a very significant case, several times. But anyway, Mel Reynolds is back in the news. This creep will go away.
Yeah, he won't. I represented his wife in some campaign finance issues, who's a very lovely lady. But Mel Reynolds, you know, he just keeps getting in trouble. And, you know, the rules don't apply to him, apparently. He doesn't feel like he has to file tax returns. I mean, that's one of the easiest things in life. Even if you're not making money, you just file your returns, especially when you're under scrutiny like someone like him. So he's going to plead guilty. He's probably going to do a year of jail time, and they'll probably throw him, you know, it's the max, just because he's had problems in the past relating to, well, just about everything, right? I mean, he hasn't really missed a crime yet.
He's also fond of dating children, which is a problem.
That's a real problem. Yeah, it's a real problem. So he's an interesting guy, and I don't think we've seen the end of him. I think that he is going to continue to violate laws and not have any regard for following rules.
The Department of Justice is suing the state of North Carolina over the transgender slash bigot law that's on the books there. You know, we don't see this very often where the government's suing one of the states. It does happen, but what do you make of this?
I think that Obama and Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, are making a stand that we're not going to allow states to pass laws that are violative of the federal law. And usually the government just stands by and watches. And, you know, and these things work themselves out. People challenge them. People bring lawsuits, and then they get knocked down. And then people try to, you know, pass laws that are similar. And we have an evolution of the law. But in this case, the U.S. Department of Justice said we're going to just come in here and stop them from enforcing this law. And again, you know, these transgender laws are, I mean, how many people does it really affect? But on the other hand, it's sort of symbolic that we are going to stand behind people, you know, based upon their gender identity. And I guess I kind of approve of this, and I guess that we shouldn't be having states do things that are violative of federal law, even if it sounds a little heavy-handed to come in. I think it's a good thing.
Karen, do you think that there's going to be a federal mandate to have gender-neutral bathrooms? Do you think that's what it will come down to?
I don't think so. I think that's such a minor issue, comparatively speaking, in the world of federal government. I mean, we have a lot of other things that are more important and more pressing and more pervasive. I just don't think this is something the federal government should or will get involved in. But I do think that when they see states passing laws that violate Title VII and other laws, they're going to step in and say, you can't do that.
And that's really what it comes down to, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's all about precedent. It's not about the number of people affected by the law. And if you allow precedent to be reset and there to be discrimination, then how do you defend it down the road if a lot of people are involved?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what the issue is. And that's why symbolic things, even though people roll their eyes and say, you know, does this really affect my life? It does affect everyone's life when there's a slippery slope, you know. It's sort of like the abortion laws, you know. We have Roe versus Wade, which allowed women the right to choose, but then other states would chip away at it. Then you have reporting, and then you have, you know, if you're 18 and under, you have to have parental consent. And so what happens is the laws get diluted because people chip away at these things. So I think, you know, you're right. It's all about precedent. It's all about setting the tone for how we're going to treat people in this country.
And what it comes down to, too, is a lot of really shoddy reporting and you know, sketchy rumors and things on the Internet. There's no precedent for people going in. You know, the one thing that everybody that wants to fearmonger this thing to death is, oh, you're going to have grown men dressed like women going in and touching my daughter. I understand parents' concerns because parents are concerned about everything related to their kids. I always was. I still am, and my kids are grown-ups. So I get it. And I also get why there's a legitimate discussion that needs to take place about this law. But let's not Ted Cruz this. Let's not say that there are creeps in dresses hanging out trying to molest your children. These are people that are in the throes of something very difficult in their own lives who just need to pee. So, you know, and by the way, I don't know why we can't find a way in most cases just to designate one of the bathrooms a unisex bathroom or maybe more than one. It seems like that would be an easy solution. But again, right, dealing with the law as the law, it's not just about the few people who are transgender who have this issue.
Well, right. And to say that a person who's transgender or gay or anything is a creep and a molester, there's no statistics that show that.
It's nonsense.
Are going to prey upon children. You know, it's the people who look normal that prey upon children. Yeah. It's true told. So,
yeah, those who complain the loudest are the ones we ought to watch a lot of the times. Karen Conti's with us, and I forgot where we left off. Oh, we left off at the end of the PP case. All right, so. Let's move on to this girl who, you know, the high school yearbook thing, Karen, when we were all going to school, your yearbook was a big deal. I assume it's still. Oh. I assume it's still a big deal, right? Or,
you know, oh, it's yeah, huge. We waited for it. We get people sign it. And you know, it was a huge deal.
All right. So now, you know, maybe the platform has changed. Maybe it's all digital now in some form. You know, the signatures come on a tweet. But whatever the case may be, this kid in a very highly publicized case this week. Somebody thought it would be funny because she had a headscarf on to give her the first name of ISIS. Is that right?
Well, I think there was another child who had that first name. And so they wrongly put her name as ISIS, and or her name wasn't, and she was very upset and now is not going to school because she fears retribution. So whether it was, you know, was it intentional or was it just a mistake, we really don't know. But it's interesting that she is not attending school and is probably going to sue.
Yeah, but it seems very shady to me. I mean, you know, the kid is clearly Muslim. She identifies herself as that. She dresses in a particular manner. It doesn't seem like an accident to me.
No, it doesn't. And this, the law really turns here on whether it's intentional or negligent. If it's just a mistake, suing a government, a school, a public school, would be very difficult because you have to prove more than just negligence when you sue the government. But if someone did that intentionally to be funny or to be mean, that could be an intentional, you know, that could be an actionable type of thing, and she could be awarded damages. Let's see what happens and see if they, apparently they returned the yearbooks and they're going to reprint them all and do all that kind of stuff. But I think the damage has been done in her eyes.
And each time we talk to Karen, for as long as this lasts, and it'll go well beyond the campaign because there's that many of them, Karen, I'd like you to give us one of your favorite Donald Trump lawsuits. So we get Karen Conti involved in Donald Trump here.
Well, you know, there's so many of them, and there are whole websites like dedicated to. My favorite, my absolute favorite, Steve, is that Donald Trump sued Bill Maher because he said he'd give Trump $5 million if he could prove that his father was not an orangutan.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, Bill Maher did a Bill Maher did a bit where Bill Maher was talking about the Trump birther thing, and he said, yeah, in a monologue on his show, Maher said, yeah, if you can prove that your father's not an orangutan, I'll give you how much?
It was $5 million.
And who won the lawsuit?
I think it was dropped. And many of these lawsuits, Trump will bring them. He'll get the attention. He'll get the publicity, and then he just drops them or settles them for a penny. So
yeah, and if I could just add, very presidential, very presidential behavior.
I mean, really, I encourage. I mean, I'm not going to be political on this show, and people are entitled to their opinions. But just Google Donald Trump lawsuits. He uses a legal system. I mean, he has to have a staff of lawyers. Completely full time, like a law firm on staff, because he is filing things constantly, whether it's personal or business. There's bankruptcies, there's lawsuits, there's crazy stuff. There's, you know, there's flags flying at his house that are too big, and so he sued the city for citing him for that. And I mean, you name it, he's sued it.
You name it, he's sued it. Karen Conti, thank you very much. On Sunday Night with Noonan, I assume.
That's right.
All right. Nice to talk to you again. At K Conti Law on social media. It's 6:57. We're back with the news on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
If anything, you make him stronger toward you. And I've heard that whole thing, oh, if you do the ban. Well, the ban is a temporary ban until we find out what's going on.
Look, I think Donald Trump has ignorant views about Islam. It's not just about me. I mean, Donald Trump has said I'm the exception to his rule. That if you're a Muslim from any part of the world, you can't go to the USA. My point is this. There are many Muslims who want to go to America to go to Disneyland, who are business people, want to do business in America, or people want to be students in America. We showed last Thursday here in London that it's possible to be mainstream Muslim and to be Western. It is compatible with Western way of life. And my point to Donald Trump is, don't make an exception for me. Reconsider your views on Islam.
That's Sadiq Khan, the new mayor of London. Obviously one of the world's great cities and one of the world's largest cities. And there you go. The people of London have elected a Muslim mayor. And by the way, and Paul Coit can speak to this in a second, but a mayor and a candidate who had previously met with some pretty sketchy people throughout the campaign, and his opponent, or not throughout the campaign, part of the campaign, His opponent had brought that up. Go, this is this guy's past. But the people of London looked at his record as a whole and decided this is the best guy to be the mayor of London. So let's get Paul Coyte in here. Paul Coyte is our London bureau chief. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And condolences on Tottenham Hotspur.
You know, that's okay. We appreciate that. It's a little bit upsetting. But it was good to see we had the Chicago Spurs Supporters Club. We're at Spurs on Sunday, so it was nice to see them. And they all send their love to you, which is bizarre, them doing it when they were over there. But anyway, yes, everything's lovely.
Well, here's the thing. You're set up perfectly for next year. This is, again, the sports story we talked about last week, where if you follow professional football.
That Leicester's, we're happy about that. We're happy about that.
Well, you should be happy because Leicester City can't win again. This was the fluke of all flukes. This was the Halley's Comet of sports.
5,000 to 1, the chances of them doing it. But the problem was, is because it was so outside and so unlikely, and everybody wanted them to win because they were the underdogs, then everybody hated us, which was pretty unfair. So you've even got managers of different clubs that are going to play them going, oh, well, you know, we really want Leicester to win. You think, well, hang on, that's a bit unfair, isn't it? Because you still got to play them.
Right.
So it was a bit unfortunate, just typical of Spurs luck, that it would be someone like 5,000 to 1 that would. But anyway, good for Leicester, and we're okay. You know, we don't mind as long as we finish above Arsenal, who are our North London rivals. But if that goes down to the wire on Sunday,
yeah, and you better, and they'll be back next year. All right, so Sadiq Khan, the new mayor of London. First off, the mayor of London, is this a very important position, or is it more ceremonial?
Well, there's two mayors of London. There's the original Lord Mayor of London, which that's more your ceremonial sort of jobby. That's where you ever familiar with the old Dick Whittington tale? Are you familiar with that?
Well, I know the old Dick Whittington, and if you get to a clinic quickly, you can get a medicine that'll clear that up immediately.
it's a very old disease, which has been going back to the 1600s, and he was the first Lord Mayor of London, and there was some crazy old story about a cat and him and a bell's peeling three times. Doesn't sound like a great story, and quite frankly, it isn't. So there's a Lord Mayor of London, and now we have a proper Mayor of London. So does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
Yeah, so the mayor that is leaving office, who is very out there, he rode his bike to work, he was a whack job, he had a Pete Rose haircut, that won't mean anything
Boris
to Paul.
Boris Johnson, yeah.
Boris Johnson. Did he do good things for the City of London?
I'm not really sure, actually, to be honest with you. All he would do is that he was very well known for his hair, as you know. He would ride his bike, and he would find himself in strange compromising positions, and he was quite outspoken. But it was more, I'm sure he got him because of his personality, and he was quite well known on the TV. So, not that politics has ever gone that way anywhere else in the world, I'm sure.
No.
But, where an idea would come from. So, he's done his two terms, so now he's on his way out. But I think he's got his eye thinking, you know what, I'd like to be Prime Minister. And you can't be a Member of Parliament whilst you are Mayor of London. So he's out. He's now going to become a Member of Parliament. And then I think he wants to be the new David Cameron. I think that's what he's got his eye on.
Well, we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, Sadiq Khan was sort of a controversial figure in the people he had hung out with for a period of time in his life, yet he got elected. Are you proud of this as a city? Are you concerned about it? What do the people of London say?
Well, he had hung out with people that played for Arsenal Football Club, which was a bit of a worry.
Yeah, those are a concern.
And so that was the main worry. But you know what? It's like you get two candidates come along, especially for Mayor of London, and it's not as big a campaign as would be in the States, or also for when it goes for Prime Minister, and that's something completely different.
Sure.
So it's like, well, he's going to get Zach Goldsmith, who's this multi-millionaire, young guy, loads of money, and it's like, well, whether it's lesser of two evils, but people sort of gone with Sadiq and thought, you know, this guy seems okay. You know, he's the son of a bus driver, which also we love an underdog story.
Sure.
As I just told you with Leicester. And he's a guy that grew up in London, knows London. He's a Muslim as well. And then people are open to that. Just think, well, that's great. He understands the way the city works. So that's how we get on. So we don't know how he's going to be, but I think he'll probably be okay as a mayor.
Because of the concern for terrorism in the city of London, does this help in that, you know, a mayor's been elected by the whole of the city, so therefore maybe we can make some peace that wasn't possible before?
No, I don't think it makes much difference, the fact that the mayor is Muslim, so therefore there's not that great divide that some certain politicians, maybe in your country, would say that there are in London, that people would think there is. No, I don't think so. There's huge Muslim possibility. It's you know, to be honest with you, Steve, and you feel the same way as me, it's just another religion. It's not anything else.
That's exactly right.
But it's all about the individual, and he's the one that's got in.
That's exactly right.
Paul, was there any reaction to the Trump comments over there, or is everybody there still kind of just going, good luck, America, and not getting into the back and forth?
No. I think, you know, people are getting a bit worried now. At first it was like, oh, yeah, surely not. Sure, no. Really? Is this actually possible? Right. Is there a chance? There is certain concern over here. There's no question about that. And I'm sure there's probably a bit of that over there as well. But the concern is beginning to build a bit more and a bit more the more we hear. So,
The thing, just to address your question about here, it's not so much fear as it is out and out panic.
I was being polite. I was being polite, as I like to be.
As I know you are. Hey, one other thing before I let you go. The Queen is in the news this morning because the Queen was caught in a hot mic moment expressing her displeasure with the president of China and his Jay-Z sized posse and how they were all rude. That's not very typical of the Queen, is it?
Well, it would be typical of the Queen. I mean, obviously she wouldn't say in public to say, you know, they're all rude. But, you know, if quite frankly someone's being rude, we're talking about the Queen. She's the most important person in this country. She can say anybody's rude.
Right.
But whether it's actually going to create a major international incident, we don't care. If you're rude, you're rude. You don't be rude to the Queen.
That's exactly right.
And the thing is, and what's great about the Queen is that when she says you're rude, she's the only person in this entire country that then wouldn't say they're being rude. I'm sorry to say it, but you're rude. Because usually we would add the apology with the insult, but no, she just said they're rude and that's the end of it.
So, right, so Paul's saying the proper way to do this, if you weren't the Queen, would be, I'm sorry, but you're being rude.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you're being rude.
Yeah, so I get that completely. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Listen, you have a lovely day. It's lovely to speak to you. And up the Spurs.
Yes, exactly what you said. That's my friend Paul Coit, live from London. He's our London bureau chief. All right, let's go to Biker Don. What are you going to sing for us?
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
All right, Mike, you got a song you ready to sing?
Yes.
What is it?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You know you're mine. Oh, Mickey. Oh, Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind.
Diane is standing by. What will you be singing for us?
Mama, life had just begun. And now you've gone and blown it all away.
Nice job, Jake. Nice mix. So there you go. Karaoke continues. And John will announce the first finalist in just a moment. We have three finalists to announce today. Those three finalists will join John in the parking lot of WGN Friday morning, one of which will be emerge as the grand prize car singing champion in our second annual karaoke. Grand prize winner gets a two-night stay at the beautiful Palmer House, a Hilton hotel. And from Apt Electronics, an Apple Watch or a GoPro. Second place will get what the first place winner doesn't want from Apt Electronics. So that's a pretty good second place prize.
It's a really good second place
prize. And we have prizes for third place as well. Everybody gets tickets to Sunday night at Zany's. And what happens Sunday night?
Sunday night is our early late night talk show with Steve Cochran. How great is that?
I don't feel like I've explained this well enough.
Yeah, because this is the real prize.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the finalist, or the champion, I should say, of karaoke will sing with you on stage.
They will have the opportunity. I'm not going to force them, but they will have the opportunity.
No, I'll force
They'll
them.
Sing.
I'll force them. Yeah. So Rowan and Anna will be there. And I'll be there. You'll be there. Tim Benker will be there.
Right.
Your son will be there.
Christopher.
Yeah. So we're going to have a great time. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Steve, why would I pay when I can just hear you for free every day? Well, first off, you should send money just for this show.
Yes.
You should probably drop a check once in a while. Wouldn't hurt. Would it kill you to send me a check? Come on. No, the reason is because this is live. I'm not coming to your house to do the show. I mean, I might someday, but I'm not doing it Sunday night. There's a chance to come out live. You get to meet all of us. You know, you get to meet Anna, which is a cool thrill. You may come. You're undecided.
Yeah,
apparently.
I'm going to come back from Iowa to watch my goddaughter graduate, but I'm going to try and be there for some of the show. Yeah,
Dave has confirmed that he won't be there.
Okay.
Will so you be there Sunday night?
Sunday night, probably. Not
could
sure.
you just lie right now and say yes?
I'm thinking I'd like to come,
Mary. Mary Vandeveld, will you be there?
I'd really. It's family night.
Yeah, same here.
Well, why don't you take your family to the comedy show?
I'm trying to sell tickets to this thing.
Just
I can't even get you to
go. I'm
going to
go.
I'm not sure yet.
All right, Dave's going to go.
No, you're not. No, you're not going to go. No.
Look at him.
No, you're not going to go.
I can't come?
No, you can't come now. We're banning
you. Dave's like, thank God.
You at the door. We're going to have bouncers throw you out.
They'll have his picture with like an X through it.
But the point is, it's going
to
be
to see the karaoke thing.
It's going to be a chance to talk to Ro and Anna without any restrictions.
Oh, see?
Yeah. We're going to be saying things that you can't normally say on the radio. We're going to be telling some stories.
You can call them thieves. You can do whatever
We got a game show we're doing. And a game show, we're going to give away some other prizes. So you can be there in a place and you're going to be able to win. And you're going to be able to see new baby pictures of Abigail.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why would you miss all that?
Okay, I was not aware of that.
Well, if you come up to me and you take my phone.
Is there a slideshow?
Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Let me write that down.
Oh, John's head's
slide show.
Look at John.
All right. So anyway, how do we get tickets?
You can go to zanies.com or call their box office at 847-813-0484. And let's have callers call in and give away like four tickets.
The callers have to give away tickets?
So they have to buy them and then give them away.
That does
so
not
it's like
seem
scalping
productive.
For no profit.
How about instead of that plan, we give tickets away to the show?
Oh, that's even better. No, like I would that. Do that, Steve.
All right, so let's give away three
pair. God, you're good.
Three pair. 312-981-7200. Three pair of free tickets Sunday night at Zanies in Rosemont. 7 o'clock show. I know it's a school night, but it's a 7 o'clock show.
Yeah, it's early. We'll be done.
Now, we're trying to get Sandberg to show up, and she has several better offers, I'm being told. Will you be there?
I will be there. John
could you sound
me,
less excited?
Yeah, I'm, John asked me to make a small commitment on Sunday, and then after I got the details from you, it's a little bit more, is my understanding.
Well, we're not completely sure on the commitment, I think. We have some writing to do.
Right. I know you guys write in the car, right? So that's,
yeah. Yeah.
No, they'll decide when they get there.
It's actually like karaoke. Everything is done in the car.
In the car.
Yeah, everything's
in
the car.
As you come off stage, that's when I'll hand you what you should say.
Okay. There we go.
Off stage or on stage?
Off stage.
Okay.
Yes. Once again, John, not a great idea.
Was
it's
that,
not fully
is
fleshed
that twice?
Out. Yes.
God,
so
two strikes.
I think Sandberg should know what she's doing before the show.
Yeah, don't tell her she's doing stand-up, like right when she walks in the door.
Oh, that's right. I am not doing stand-up. I will tell you that, so... I agree with you there, Mayor.
You know, if Sandberg ever gets confident, she's going to be fine. But you'll be there on Sunday night as well. So if people want to go, hey, yeah, Steve seems like a decent guy, or Steve seems like a jerk, she can confirm or deny.
I definitely can.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
notice she didn't
and she'll
there.
Tell you her answer on Sunday.
She didn't confirm or deny live there.
What about Jake? Is he going?
Well, he's got prior commitments.
You didn't even ask him.
Is the segment over? Mike, will you be there?
Well, since you
he's
forgot
Jake
to ask
or
me
Mike.
Originally,
yeah.
Okay,
it's actually Friends night, so
oh, Friends night.
Oh, do you watch Friends or do you go out with friends?
No, we friends get together, and we talk, and we converse, and we ask each other things at the appropriate time.
It's Mike Jacobs at book club.
Does Grzanich make you guys Cosmos?
That's Saturday night.
Yeah, I was going to ask Grzanich if he'd be there, but he's never in his news chair near his microphone, so I couldn't find him. So here's the thing. We want you all to come out. It's going to be a great night. And again, tickets, how?
Go to zanies.com or call their phone number at 847-813-0484.
Second annual karaoke finalist number one. Are you ready to announce?
Yes, I am ready.
And the winner is?
Oh, no drum roll? That was... Okay, that was more of a bongo.
That's all I have handy.
That's fine. Diane Warren is
Diane
our first finalist.
Warren.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wait, isn't she?
Oh, we just heard the clip. And also a famous lyricist.
A famous lyricist. lyricist. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Congratulations, Diane.
She was
Warren,
really good.
Finalist.
She was really good.
Number one. Mm-hmm. That's got a little song. Clip for me? Give me a little bit of Diane. Whenever you're ready, Jake.
Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun. And now you've gone and blown it all away. Mama, ooh,
pretty good.
Didn't mean pretty to good. Make you cry.
By the way, if she is the winner, I understand you're going to try to find something even more depressing to sing together on stage Sunday night. Maybe Terry Jacks' Seasons in the Sun, or what was that 50s hit about the car crash? And so find something else where somebody dies.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I got a bird, a crazy bird, attacking my house.
Oh, no.
And this bird keeps flying into the window.
Because it thinks it sees itself in the reflection, maybe?
Either that or it's some sort of, bird trying to, end it all. I don't know.
I seriously think it's like mating season or something, and they think they see each other in the window, and they're trying to...
Hey, girl.
Something like that, maybe.
Are you sure it's not a woodpecker?
I don't think I said it was or wasn't a woodpecker. So I figure I fix the bird problem, and I'm a genius. And then it's a few hours later, and the bird's now banging off a different window.
I was going to say, yeah.
And I think it's the same bird. Because all the other birds are laughing at him and pointing their wings at him. And look at Claude. It's bird troubles. By the way, that bird's back again. Went away, and it's back again. Yeah.
Did you take the tape down?
No, I still have the reflective tape in the windows. House looks like it's some sort of,
like it's been condemned.
All it's missing is one of those, what are they called, hex signs from Amish country or something?
The House of the Seven Gables.
I'm thinking about just putting up Christmas lights all around the house here in May.
There you
just
go.
Just to scare the bird off.
Might be an improvement.
Put up a sign, welcome Claude.
Mike Quigley joins us. Congressman Quigley, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
So I got bird troubles.
I hear. Hope they're not egging you on.
All right, we've run out of time, Congressman Quigley. Either that or you got to get a better writer.
Well, I was just tweeting about this.
All right, so tell me about the birds flying into the buildings.
Well, a serious level. We lose about at least 300 million birds a year from collisions with glass on buildings.
So do we have to move the buildings?
Well, some estimate that it's three times higher. Look, at nighttime, this is a policy of how we handle this. Shutting off lights in high-rises and homes, or closing the blinds. At day, it's how the buildings are designed and the materials they're made from. So there are simple solutions. I was just at Loyola University earlier in the week, and they're actually putting up reflective, different types of material on the back of the glass so the birds can actually see this. Because the bird just doesn't see the glass. It looks like sky to them.
So what is the bird doing? Is the bird trying to fly through it or seeing a reflection and attacking the reflection?
Doesn't even see the glass.
Okay. In
some of these modern buildings, it's a clear path through. You see glass on the other side of the atrium. So all it sees is sky.
See, I think
all these mirrored buildings, they see sky, and they don't see it at all, and they unfortunately are killed all too often.
But see, I think this is part of the problem. Because I think, I got new windows in the house. Love the windows. Siding one, windows one. Like a year ago. And there were no bird problems before. So the new glass in the windows, I think I got the same thing going on.
Yeah, you can buy material that you can see through, but the birds can see. It sticks on one side of the glass. Some people put up stained glass pieces that hang from the glass that the birds can see. Just anything that gives them some sense that it's not just the sky that they're running into.
Is this bird brain? Is this where the term comes from, bird brain?
Probably some from friends that we know.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of guys you work with. All right, so there's stuff that we can buy or that I can buy before we get back to the buildings issue. Not that I want to make this about me on the Steve Cochran Show. Where do I buy this?
Yeah, you can check on the Audubon website. There's information about what you can do.
Audubon, huh?
A lot of it, there's an Illinois Audubon.
Yeah.
Several years ago, people from Audubon took me out to McCormick Place, took me out to the high-rises in early morning in Chicago, And literally there were hundreds of dead birds on the ground.
Is that right?
So, yeah, we passed an ordinance at the county so that they changed the policies there and they changed the building construction from then on. It was a model that several other cities have picked up. And honestly, we now have a bill in Congress to do that with the GSA. We'd like to think that it sends a message to others, helps spread the word. Look, this doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost government anything at all. But it saves millions of birds' lives. And remember, about a third of the 800 bird species in the United States are endangered, threatened, or in significant decline. So there's a reason to do this beyond the fact that we like how beautiful birds are.
So you were saying that high-rises downtown need to turn the lights off at night?
Yeah, Chicago is actually a leader on this, called the Lights Out Program. Chicago is one of the first cities in the whole country to address nighttime bird deaths, especially during the migratory times.
Well, I would think, Chicago too, it would save the landlord's money, right? Or the tenant's money.
Sure, it saves landlord's money, saves energy, reduces pollution. It just encourages building managers to dim or turn off their lighting at night and minimize the use of bright interior lights during this migration season. It works wonders if people participate. If it doesn't cost any money, it actually saves money in birds' lives.
Congressman, do you have a favorite bird?
You know, you mentioned I actually spent some time out now in Beverly Shores, Indiana. You got to like the woodpecker.
The woodpecker.
Or the blackhawk.
You want the Blackhawk, sure, of course, absolutely. All right, well, listen, you've given me good advice, and it's a good thing for people to think about. Shut off your lights at night in these high-rises, and during the day, we just have to come up with that material you're talking about for these buildings to address it on a commercial level.
Yeah, it's some of its design, what kind of windows they purchase, or if they don't want to shut the lights off, they can close the blinds at night.
Because right now, Congressman, I'm standing in my office at home when I go home, and I just stand in the window for hours going, and that does not seem like an effective treatment.
Not as effective as the others.
All right. I appreciate your time. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. That's Congressman Quigley. So Congressman Quigley is doing the bird thing and doing the noise thing at O'Hare. Mm-hmm. What's everybody else in Congress doing?
That's a really
good
question.
Just trying
to
decide if they're going to suck up to Trump? It is 7:53, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Let's go through a little bit of audio from yesterday. You know, and again, it's mostly politics. Can you give me a little bit of former Mexican President Vicente Fox? Let me know when you're ready. Vicente Fox was the original get in Trump's face president of Mexico. Even though he's no longer president, he was one of the first Mexican leaders to come out and say, we're not building your stupid effing wall.
Right.
And I think that's his exact quote. Here's Fox yesterday, because there were some rumors this week that Fox had started to kiss up to Trump and that he had changed his mind. He's still a very important person in Mexico as an ex-president, obviously. And here he is now talking about Trump and Trump's standing amongst the people of his country.
We're coming back to the era of the ugly American, which was the gringo was hated all around the world. Yeah. And this guy, pretty soon he got the title now.
Yeah.
He is the ugly American. He is the hated gringo because he's attacking all of us. He's offending all of us. Imagine, that could take us to a war, not to a trade war.
Oh,
it could take
so?
Us, oh, of course.
It's Vicente Fox, who also speaks on the wall and where he stands now compared to his quote. Here you go.
People believe in him because they tell them, look, I'm going to get you the job. I'm going to increase your income. I'm going to solve your problems. And Trump is crazy. He cannot solve all the problems of all these people. He's crazy.
Yeah, he keeps saying he was going to make Mexico pay for the wall, as you know.
I'm not going to pay for that wall. And please don't take out the world.
I mean, oh, yeah, okay. No, don't bleep that, huh?
He for is emphasis. Crazy.
That's former President Vicente Fox. Again, if you're wondering if he's now changed his mind on Trump, you know, I can only analyze it from my perspective. I don't think so. I think he still thinks it's a bad idea. If you want to hear all of that, you probably are already subscribing to the, I've never heard of this, the Kick-Ass Politics Podcast. That's the name of the podcast. Well, if he's agreeing to do the Kick-Ass Politics Podcast, we could probably get him on here, I would think.
We probably could.
Meanwhile,
I like how he says, keep in the full word.
Yeah, keep in the full right. word. Don't edit it. Meanwhile, back at the White House, there's trouble. Seems that the White House is now having to ask the Facebook folks, why were you editing conservative news sites? Conservative news sites may have been intentionally edited by a regular staff of Facebook folks. Like there was a Facebook division specifically to keep news stuff out of, your news feed.
Yeah.
The Blaze was one of them. That's Glenn Beck's site. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of others. This was brought up to Josh Earnest, White House press secretary, and he's been on this show several times. Here's his response.
White House certainly does use Facebook to communicate with the American public. I believe the Associated Press uses Facebook to communicate with the American public, as do your media organizations, or your news organizations. We obviously are all dealing with a rapidly changing news environment, and communicating more effectively with the American people is a responsibility that we all have. Obviously, we were pleased to see the statement from Facebook, making pretty clear that this was not something that they engaged in. Obviously, you can ask them directly for a better explanation of what people may be seeing.
This sort of reminds me of the whole IRS controversy a few years ago, that the IRS wasn't just auditing conservative groups. You got to do a better job of hiding your BS if it is, in fact, BS. So that story will continue. And I think all of us really, really miss Ted Cruz. I think when you kick back, you go, boy, remember the good old days when Ted Cruz was running for president?
No.
Fair, even-minded Ted Cruz, the guy that all-inclusive Ted Cruz. You know Ted. Yeah. I almost cursed there, didn't I?
I know. Yeah, leaving the full word.
Ted Cruz is back, at least in this form, and still seems to be holding on to the idea after a month off. Or is it not even a month, right?
No, a couple 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That he could jump back in the race in some form. Here's Teddy.
Listen, we have suspended the campaign. We've suspended the campaign because I can see no viable path to victory. Of course, if that changed, we would reconsider things, but let's be clear, we're not going to win Nebraska today. There should be no mystery, no excitement in that. We've withdrawn from the campaign, and it's in the hands of the voters. If circumstances change, we will always assess change circumstances, but I appreciate the eagerness and excitement of all the folks in the media to see me back in the ring, but you may have to wait a little bit longer for that to happen.
Imagine what it's like for him going back to work in the Senate. He trashes the Senate. He trashes the House. He trashes Congress. He trashes D.C. They already hated him. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming back as the loser. Hey, good times, Teddy. And I felt...
One-term senator?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, he may not have problems getting reelected, but he may have problems getting a seat in the lunchroom at the Senate building.
Right, he'll be at the table way in the corner.
And I felt bad for Heidi, his wife, because she had taken so much grief. You know, there was that idiotic Trump post with his wife versus Heidi.
Yeah, Melania versus Heidi.
Yeah, and I swear I saw Heidi in every bit of footage blinking out, help me, I'm a hostage. As opposed to, I'm very happy to be here with Ted.
Like in code.
Yeah, and then the night that Ted steps down, she gets elbowed in the face and then punched in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Ted Cruz, I said this before, I'll say it again. Ted Cruz had to get out. He was going to kill every woman in America.
Have we heard from Heidi Cruz?
No, we haven't until now. The Carly Fiorina's fallen off the stage. Heidi's taking shots to the jaw. Nothing but trouble. But it turns out maybe Heidi is all in. Maybe I was wrong about Heidi. Here's Heidi Cruz on a conference call with the National Prayer Team, summing up her husband's campaign efforts.
I believe in the power of prayer. It just doesn't always happen on the timing of man, and God does not work in four-year cycles. So we love you. This has changed our lives to know you and to call you our friends. And hang in there. Be full of faith and be so full of joy that this team was chosen to fight a long battle. Think that slavery It took 25 years to defeat slavery. That is a lot longer than 4 years. And we are full of energy. We're going to have a great vacation. And we're going to keep doing sports.
She just equated Ted Cruz's campaign with the end or the fight to end slavery.
Yeah.
I think we've seen enough of the Cruises.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards, brought to you by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. This is the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. Dean, how are you?
Well, I'm perplexed.
Over?
I'm just sitting here and wondering if I wanted to go someplace and enjoy some top-notch comedy sometime soon.
Yeah, like say Sunday night?
Well,
I mean, Sunday night's probably your free night.
I'm free. It turns out I'm free, but... You know, I don't know where to turn for something like this.
I'd have to ask John because I'm no expert on this either. John, where would you go on Sunday night?
You know, I think off the top of my head, I'd probably go to Zany's to see the early late night talk show.
Oh, my
Steve
show,
Cochran. Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't want to make a big deal out of that.
That's what I would do.
No, really, this weekend?
Yeah,
this Sunday
with special guests Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, and I'll get Ro to tell the real story of his life. Not the nonsense he's been saying on the air for all these years.
I hope he has enough energy because he's usually so low-key.
He really is. Yeah. Sometimes he gets so excited his voice is so high, only dogs on the North Shore can hear him.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Are you going to have the guy, I'm sorry I don't remember his name, I know he's a well-known comedian, the guy that does his Steve Bertrand impersonation? Because that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my
Tim
life.
Tim Banker.
Tim.
That's where we make the entire audience close their eyes as they imagine Steve Bertrand without pants at Rosemont.
One of the funniest things I have ever heard in my life.
It's not a lot of places you can make money with a Steve Bertrand impression, but that's one
I'm telling you, it was so good. And he will be there.
Yep.
Tim will be our announcer again.
All right, let's talk about what's coming up after traffic. Norman Lear's coming to town. There is Doug Banks Memorial Service news about the radio legend who passed a couple of weeks ago. Justin Bieber has a new rule that fans need to know. Gene Simmons is sorry. And Sharon Osbourne is no longer living with Sorry Ozzy. So
spoke out about it for the first time yesterday.
Stand by for all of that.
She wants to go to a comedy show this weekend. Cheer up a little bit. I'm going to bring her.
She frightens me. Why? I think that's why Ozzy's wandering the streets. He's afraid of her.
Why does he?
Sharon!
That would frighten me. She seems very low-key to me.
I called Ozzy last night. I said, listen, man, you're an idiot, but how are you doing? And he said,
good to know he's okay.
Yeah, so I hung up on him. It's 8:16. Let's get to traffic, and then we'll get back to Dean.
And Ozzy Osbourne.
All right, Chicago. I want to hear a real crazy crowd start singing with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready? One, two, three, and let's go out to the border. Let's go out to the river.
Sing it with Ozzy.
Take me in the river. Sing to you. I don't.
See, big finish.
3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yeah. Boy.
So fantastic.
Now let's get some runs.
Now let's get some runs. Come on, don't mess around. Let's get some runs, guys.
Does he know where he is?
Whatever they are.
I love just when we play that.
Just the words.
Gotta resurrect that every couple of years.
The words were right in front of him.
Just so.
They wrote it down. It was right in front of him.
Let's go to the Reno. Let's go to Cape Cod and have a sandwich.
Let's get some runs, guys.
2003.
The only story better than that is when Kid Rock was up in the booth to sing, and he was smashed. And Kid Rock didn't know you're supposed to say, let's get some runs at the end. And Jeff Garlin whispered in his ear, and he thought he said something else. And Kid Rock said, let's get some lunch. And 35,000 people left Wrigley Field to get lunch. Unbelievable. All right, so tell me the Sharon Osbourne news.
Well, she appeared on her talk show, The Talk, yesterday, and was very straightforward about all of this. She, you know, kind of explained what was going on. Mostly she kind of explained how she was feeling and, you know, why she decided to move on. She didn't talk about infidelity. She didn't talk about drug abuse. She didn't talk about any of the reasons behind any of that. Mostly that she's trying to process it all. Why, here is a little clip of her talking herself.
Is there a chance the two of you will stay married?
I honestly don't know. I, at this point, I cannot answer that because I don't know what I want. When I know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, who I'm going to be spending my life with, and what I want to do with it, you'll be the first to know. It's just something that I've got to follow my heart. And I don't even know what my heart's telling me right now. I'm just like, just trying to take it all in. I just have to say that it is amazing, the support and how it has honestly, honestly given me strength to sit here and I'm not going to cry about anything because there's nothing to cry about.
Yeah, good for her.
I give her credit. I mean, she didn't have to come forward and say anything. I mean, she doesn't know the public. You know, this is something which is very personal to her, but she did decide to come forward. I will say, I watched the whole interview.
Sharon! Oh, sorry.
The other ladies around the desk, it's like they were interrogating her. I felt bad for her.
Yeah,
like,
let it go.
Lighten up and let, you know, the woman was nice enough to share a very personal and, I presume, a painful part of what's going on in her life right now, you know, and they're hammering her with questions.
Andre asked a very legitimate question off the air, and I hadn't thought about it, but I think it's legitimate for a lot of people because Ozzy is not in great health from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet.
Mm-hmm. Is That's this a nice way to put it.
Is this a fling he had currently or something she found about that happened in the past?
Don't know.
Okay.
That's interesting. It would be interesting if it happened a long time ago.
Did I sleep with her currently or was that in the past?
No, that's too lucid. That's too clear. No, but if it was in the past and she just found out about it, you know, say if it was 10, 15 years ago, she had to have known. I mean, it's Ozzy Osbourne. At one point, he was the Prince of Darkness.
You would think that he has done this in the past. Yeah. But, you know, who knows?
Once a Prince of Darkness, always a Prince of Darkness.
Dean, you have said that your whole life. That's very consistent on
that. That's right. You don't want to know where I have that tattooed.
Let's go to Old Rocker's Corner, story number two. Gene Simmons?
Gene Simmons came out yesterday and said that Prince's death by drugs was pathetic. He says that he has never been drunk or high in his life, which is kind of interesting, but I'll take him on his word for that. But he said, you know, at a time when we don't even really know officially what killed Prince, he said that Prince slowly killed himself with drugs.
He doesn't know that.
Said the whole thing is pathetic. Later in the day, he apologized for that. Said that he just gets very upset when he sees what drugs do to families and friends of addicts. Totally get that. I also totally get, why don't you wait until autopsy results come out
before you trash
somebody, you know, and disparage their life and tragic death when we don't even know what the official cause is.
Justin Bieber is breaking my heart. Justin Bieber has a new selfie policy.
Yep. Following the same policy that Steve has, when you see him out in public at the Jewel, at the Jiffy Lube, you know, wherever Steve happens to be, no more pictures with fans.
Well, let's be honest, though. My policy is please take a picture with me. I don't know anyone, and no one knows me. So that's my policy. My policy is a little bit opposite.
It's a little different.
My policy is I go up to complete strangers and say, do you know who I am? And then I take a selfie with them.
Right. Right. Sometimes doesn't even say, do you know who I am? He just gets in with them and shoots a picture.
And then I take a picture with the officer who comes over to arrest me.
Or when they say, Denzel, would you take a picture with us?
I get that. I still get that. I get Denzel all the time.
Bieber says it's gotten to the point now that people come up and take pictures with him. And, quote, they don't even recognize me as a human, I feel like a zoo animal.
Well, I feel that way around women when I have to go, my eyes are up here. Well, but that's a different story.
That's not fair. Zoo animals are cute.
Yeah, it depends on the zoo and the animal. What's the Doug Banks news?
They're going to officially hold a public memorial now. That's been announced. It's going to be this coming, let me get the exact date on this, which I professional broadcaster would have had ready.
Doug Banks would have had it.
Doug Banks would have had this information. It's going to be Saturday, May 21st, 11 a.m., the Harold Washington Cultural Center.
Well, that's nice.
47 the King Drive. This is the official, you know, the funeral's taking place, the public wake and memorial and so forth. But this is for fans. This is for people who grew up listening to Doug on
he's a fabulous
GCI
guy.
Or V103. But Saturday, the 21st at 11.
Fabulous guy who had quite a career. Norman Lear's coming to town?
He is going to be...
How old is Norman Lear?
He is 93 years old.
Wow.
93 years old. He's going to be at the Music Box Theater on Monday night at 7 o'clock. There's a new documentary on his life that they're going to be showing that night. But just before the screening of the film, Mr. Lear and I will sit down and have a bald guy conversation.
Cool.
About his life, about his career. I am completely in awe of everything that he has contributed to the medium of television and our social consciousness, too. I mean, really, his shows, All in the Family, Maude, Good Times, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, Mary Hartman. Go down the list. There are so many shows, not only hilariously funny and groundbreaking at the time, but powerfully, powerful statements that each of these
statements that were made without being preachy, statements that were made in context of great writing and a great script.
That's going to be this coming Monday night, the 16th at 7 p.m. The Music Box on North Southport Avenue.
Can people come see it?
It is open to the public. Yeah, tickets at musicboxtheater.com/events.
Or meet Dean in the Channel 9 parking lot. He's selling them out of his trunk.
One bald guy just as good as another, really.
And before we go, John DeCause has our second finalist in karaoke. Our second finalist for karaoke. This is our second annual karaoke, as you know, Dean, because you've been covering it live.
That's right.
Our second finalist of three that'll appear in the parking lot Friday morning until we determine the ultimate car singer. John, finalist number two is?
Finalist number two is Carolyn Larson with Someday.
Carolyn Larson with Someday. Dean, live review. Tell me what you think.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, I will feel a glow. I will feel that glow just thinking of you and the way so you good. Look tonight.
How about that?
That is a stunning vibrato she's got there.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought her hair was nice, too.
Really
and that little quiver in her voice is pretty cool.
To do that in your car, a cappella, that's pretty impressive. Anyway, she will be in the parking lot along with finalist number one.
Yes, Diane Warren.
And Diane Warren.
The Diane Warren?
Yeah, the lyricist. She's finally decided to perform. Yeah.
Wow.
They'll be in the parking lot Friday morning along with finalist number three still to be announced. And then the winner will appear Sunday night at Zany's in Rosemont and will sing live with John on stage.
But well, come anyway.
Everybody.
But, yes. That's actually good. Wow. But come anyways. But you
I don't
should
know,
still
maybe,
show
maybe
up.
The people on this show could react when I say let me just say this. When a sentence ends this way, live on stage Sunday night. That's probably where the applause goes.
I wasn't sure if you were done.
48 people on this show. Nobody applauded. Nobody said a word.
What I heard was dot, dot, dot. Like you had a little more.
Like there's more.
Like there was more to come.
Yeah, you're going
to
be talking about it for the rest of the show and the rest of the week. So we're saving ourselves.
You're going to pace yourself.
Too winded. Orion Samuelson joins us live in 10 minutes. Thank you, Dean. Big story coming up, 720 WGN.
I walk in like a timepiece. I go straight to VIP. I never pay for my drinks. My entourage behind me. My life's a movie, Tom Cruise. So bless me, baby. Yeah.
Kid 22, it's Megan Trainor. It's her new song. Part of our regular Tuesday, Wednesday dance tracks features that we have on the show.
If I was you, I'd wanna be
cool. She's got a lot of style. But you know me, I'm all about that bass. Pretty clear I ain't no size 2, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. You know me. It's 8:42. Orion Samuelson is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Hope you all are too, and enjoyed the discussion earlier this morning. I received 2 emails from people who will contribute $1 to my campaign if I want to do it.
So. Are you going to run now?
No.
I'll support you now. No. You would be the finest third-party candidate in America. You know, the core of your business is and will always be the American farmer.
Absolutely.
And when we look at our 2 finalists for the biggest job on the planet, I don't think either of them has a clue about agriculture. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. Absolutely correct, because first of all, you're not hearing agriculture discussed in any of the debates and everything else going on. But when they do, Donald Trump, with the commercials for the Indiana vote last week, kept talking about how terrible trade agreements are, how they hurt the people of the United States. Bernie Sanders has said he would cancel trade agreements like NAFTA that's been in place for 20 years and has been successful. The thing people forget when it comes to trade is if it don't go both ways, it ain't trade. And so you have to give some to get access to markets. Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement that badly needs to be approved by Congress is having its problem.
So Trump's premise and Bernie Sanders' premise, their premise is that we should not trade with anybody because we can keep all the jobs here. Now, here's the problem with that theory.
Yeah.
There's 320 million people here in this country.
Yep.
The idea that we wouldn't lose jobs and that companies could only sell to this country is stupid.
Yes.
You can't excuse it.
No.
If you are running for president and you want the job, you have to understand the basic economics of how dumb that statement is.
Because we're global. We're no longer. 5% of the people on the planet live inside the borders of the United States.
Right.
95% outside the borders. If we were to stop trade, and I have one lady who writes to me every year saying, if we stopped shipping our agricultural products overseas, my grocery bill would go down sharply.
That's exact opposite.
And I go back to her and I say, if we do that, you tell me which half of the farmers you want to close up business,
right?
Because we would do that.
And therefore, less farmers, less supply, your grocery bill would go up.
Absolutely.
It's a nice thought that we could just be happy Americans, all red, white, and blue, and not deal with anybody. But there were shipping lanes that were established in the time of Columbus because Spain couldn't just sell to Spain. It's not something we just invented.
No, it's not. It's not new. And interestingly enough, Hillary Clinton, while she was Secretary of State, supported the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership
until she
Agreement.
Didn't.
But now that she's running for president, it's all about the votes.
And I am shocked to hear that Hillary Clinton may have been less than honest about something. This is a real, real shock to me.
Can I mention one other thing?
Sure, of course.
Because the food labeling issue just won't go away. And so sooner or later, we're going to have to come up with a national food labeling thing on the GMO issue. But this month, we're getting just about a month and a half away from the Vermont law that goes into effect July 1st. And it's an interesting law because it says any food with GMO ingredients must be labeled. And so we have one state now that's doing that. And that means if you're a General Mills or a Kellogg's or anybody else, you're going to have to label all of your packages.
Yeah, because you're not going to retrofit it for one state.
And it could be unconstitutional because it hampers interstate trade. So that could come to play. But I talked to the attorney at Campbell Soup. And they were the first major company to say, we can't afford to label for one state. And so we have to label for everything. And so that's why it's beginning.
And again, your prices will go up.
Yeah.
Because it's going to cost more for the company to make the products that you use.
Yeah, so simple. If you don't want GMO, go to the organic food store. And God bless them, because they can provide it for you. So.
And the idea that there is enough farmable land, to invent a word, on the planet to feed the planet.
No way.
It's just not possible.
No way at all.
And genetic modification doesn't mean that. This stuff just makes my head explode. This is the same thing for people that assume that all the gas and oil companies are evil and they can't wait for a pipeline to explode or for an ocean to be polluted. It's idiotic.
We've done 150 scientific studies on GMO. And it is
the absolute fast-track best way to feed the poorest people on Earth.
And one more thing. Later this month, two books are coming out because the other labeling thing that bothers me on restaurant menus, gluten-free.
Yeah.
If you have celiac disease, you need it gluten-free. Dr. Most, I'm sure, has talked about it, and
he
should talk more about it. But if you're not celiac disease, you could be harming your diet by going gluten-free. So two books will be out the end of the month. One of them titled Celiac Disease, A Hidden Epidemic, and the other one, Gluten Exposed, The Science Behind the Hype and How to Navigate to a Healthy, Symptom-Free Life. I'm going to
You know what this is? Do you remember 15, 20 years ago when fat-free was on everything? And Seinfeld had an episode about it, right? Fat-free yogurt. Turns out it had more calories than the regular yogurt.
It's true. Frozen yogurt sometimes does.
There are good fats and there are bad fats. But when everything started to be labeled fat-free, everybody assumed, well, I'm now eating healthy. Everybody's looking for a fast-track, corner-cutting way to do things. And if they think they buy a gluten-free labeled product, then therefore they're doing something better for themselves. That's not necessarily the case.
And certainly not necessary to label everything that way. You know, I look now at various packaging. What does natural mean? What does healthy mean? Locally grown, I can understand. But if we only consumed locally grown foods, we wouldn't have oranges in the wintertime and we wouldn't have grapes in the wintertime and all that.
I have a GMO question for you. So if when we buy meat right now and whatever we're buying where there are GMOs within the product, it's not labeled, correct? So this big the movement is actually to label everything that actually has GMOs.
Everything.
Meat,
and that will probably be about 80%. Of all food that you'll find in a supermarket contains some form of GMO. I mean, cattle were fed GMO corn, for example. But
Keep fighting a good fight, will you?
Well, I will. And, you know, Congress spending time on this when it should be dealing with so many other things. But because common sense, I think, has left the planet. And if we can't indulge ourselves in common sense. And you know my motto, if you eat, you die. Mm-hmm. And if you don't eat, you die. So,
You know what? You can't argue with those two statements. It is 8:54. We will have our final finalists for karaoke coming up here in a few minutes. I have three stories here. It's a brand new feature on the show that I've done many times. It's called Three Things. Thing number one, can you deep fry a burger? You want to batter and deep fry a burger? Go to state fairs all summer long and get the wacky state fair food. Deep fried burgers. John, you had a deep fried Twinkie, you said, or a Snickers?
Snickers bar.
What is it deep fried in?
It was like frozen. I don't know. It was disgusting.
I'm a complete chocolate head. I have a problem. Chocolate is cracked to me. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't eat a deep-fried Snickers.
Yeah,
and did you lose a bet?
Yeah, I did. I did lose the bet.
What did it taste like? A Snickers with batter?
It tasted like deep-fried ick.
Ick.
And it put the recipe up online?
Yeah, it's a little bit of ick.
It starts with two balls of Angus beef, the deep fried burger we're talking about now.
You're big on John.
Probably if I should clear this
up. Hold on.
So you get a couple of Angus beef balls, and each about the size of a fist. And for those of you making up jokes in your car, grow up. You sprinkle it with a mixture of spices.
Each ball?
Both balls.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you can put sliced jalapenos on top, or maybe a scoop of cheddar cheese. Mm. So now you've got peppers and cheddar on your Angus balls, and you put the second patty on top. You crimp the edges.
Oh wow!
And you shut it. Yeah, you're telling me. you crimp the edges shut. And it turns into sort of a puck-like patty in flour. You dip it in beer batter, and then you deep fry it. Deep-fried burgers.
It sounds kind of good.
Doesn't sound very healthy to me.
What do you want, a label on it? Kale Boy? By the way, worst superhero ever, Kale Boy. He didn't have enough energy to finish catching the bad guys because he hadn't had any protein.
Oh, dear. I'm making crimping
Three edges. Fangs! Item number two. Who sleeps commando? Anybody on the show?
I'm in full camouflage.
You're camouflage?
Yeah.
You're in full hunting gear.
I've got a helmet. Go ahead.
Okay, no, you.
No, I don't mean occasionally, like on special occasion, sleeps commando. I mean sleeps commando.
For a nap or for regular bed? What?
for a little bed or night-night?
I'm serious.
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Well, let's say regular bed. Night-night.
Oh, no, okay, wait a minute. At home or in
night-night.
Prison?
No. Your prison years aren't relevant here.
Okay.
Mary, commando or clothed?
No, I get too cold.
Yeah. Dave, commando or clothed?
Shorts.
I always go shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll wear cargo shorts and I'll fill the pockets up, and that's no way to get
that's
a good night's
good.
Sleep.
No.
Jake, commando or shorts?
Both.
What?
Doesn't even make sense.
Don't ask.
It's ridiculous.
Let it go.
Sandberg, commando or clothes?
I'm like Winnie the Pooh. I just wear a top.
I didn't know Winnie the Pooh was in this discussion. Oh, Winnie the Pooh doesn't have... Yeah,
right. No, he just...
Clark the Bear.
Thought about that. Winnie the Pooh doesn't have... Yeah, Winnie the Pooh's a flasher.
Yes.
Winnie the Pooh wears little red underwear, though.
What?
No, you know what? You are making it dirty.
I didn't say
what about nothing. Bennett Cumberbatch back there? What does he do?
Quarter of the time.
I'm so sorry.
What question are we on?
So here's the deal. And this is written from a female perspective. Your lace underwear might look sexy, but it's healthier to go commando. Hmm. Now, you might be thinking, sleeping in commando is uncomfortable to me or makes me feel uncomfortable. But the fact is, the sheets you sleep on, the bedding that you have, we're assuming you've laundered it.
Well, we're hoping.
Right.
Yeah.
We're assuming you're sleeping in, a fairly clean environment. And going commando is actually healthier and will give you a better night's sleep.
That would make sense.
Why?
Think about it. I don't want to get too descriptive, but everything is out in the open. It can breathe.
Or airing stuff out.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you have your sheets on top of you, you're not airing anything out.
Well, maybe mix it up. Half the night the sheets are off. Set an alarm. Mary, pull those sheets down.
Well, when I'm having a hot flash, I have to.
You don't want to cover up everything, Mary. Some things need to breathe. That's all I'm saying. It's like that old episode of Seinfeld with Kramer. Remember when Kramer said, I don't wear boxer shorts because my boys need a home?
Mm-hmm. Well, your head's always breathing. Unless
you're wearing shorts.
If it's not, it's a totally different discussion.
And your coolant in the My Pillow that helps.
Yes. Keep your hot head cool. Mm-hmm. And finally, this item number three things. There's a dating app now called Maple Match. Maple Match pairs single Canadians with Americans who want to flee the country if Trump wins.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that is good.
Maple Match will save U.S. residents from dying alone in Canada. So if you're planning on moving to Canada, it'll hook you up with a Canadian.
Yeah, at least you'll know somebody there now instead of just going in cold.
Their slogan is making dating great again.
Wow.
How handsome am I, right? How handsome?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Susan, what will you sing for us?
Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to.
Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery.
Hit it, Tracy.
All right. Windshield wipers slapping time. I'm holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that driver knew.
Freedom is just another word for
I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before, and everyone was an NRA. I wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam, not a Sam.
I'm an eighth old man, I'm Henry, Henry the eighth I am.
That last
second
woman.
Verse, same as the first.
The last woman I like, she sent in a video, and she did a very formal introduction of the video. And then she launched into it by going, it's the only song I know. Oh, she's great. So John DeCosta's here. John, who is the third finalist?
Our third finalist for karaoke is Tracy Reese and Janis Joplin.
Tracy, did the Janis Joplin.
She did the Janis Joplin.
Yeah. All right, so we have three women.
Yes.
All great.
Yes.
They'll all assemble Friday morning in the parking lot here.
Yep.
And we will have a second annual karaoke winner, a grand champion, if you will. We should probably at least consult last year's champion karaoke winner.
Oh, yes.
Reach out to them. See if they have any advice or how their life changed in the last year.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Sunday night, the karaoke champ will appear on stage with John, and we'll give tickets to the other two folks as well that don't win. But Sunday night, they'll do a duet with John. Have you chosen a song?
No, I'm actually going to see who the winner is first.
Okay. All right. And if you want tickets to come see the Steve Cochran talk show live on stage like you've never seen it before, because, you'll be live and we'll be there. It's not like we're doing this show in your house. And we'll be able to say things, and there's certain language restrictions that fall away. Not that it's a curse fest.
No.
But you'll be able to come out and see us in a situation you haven't seen us in before, including Ro Khan and Anna DeVolantis.
Oh, so will you go blue? See, I'm learning all the terminology.
I'm going to wear like a gray.
It's a hot look for you. Gray is very festive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And producer Sandberg will be there as well.
Yes. Yes, a little music, a little comedy, some games, some prizes.
A little dance, a little seltzer
little
down
dance.
Your pants.
It's pretty good.
I'm going to be there also.
Are you coming?
Yes.
Dave Ennett has just asked permission from Karen, and Karen came through.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Sandberg Ennett's coming as well.
She doesn't really care. Evidently.
She cares. She just hit the wrong mic button.
Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah. I was in queue. I was testing myself.
Oh. Yes, so. Yes.
I'm cool with Dave going, so.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
I just wanted to say that there's a video of John and I doing a handstand contest on Facebook.
You should check this out. This is not going to be repeated on Sunday night. Or maybe it will. But Sunday night at 7 o'clock at Zanies. But in the middle of a break, a commercial break, it kind of takes you backstage on what we do during the break here. Because this show doesn't just slap itself together. There's a lot going on. And it's Sandberg and John doing handstands.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I did it without warming up at all.
That's true. It's very, very true. Yeah, so I salute both of you.
There it is.
Yeah. Now, you're going to be in Iowa for your niece's graduation.
My goddaughter is graduating, from the University of Iowa.
Is there any chance she'll be back in time to come to the show? Because people would like to meet you as well.
I'm going
to
try. I actually just showed John DeCoss our itinerary. My cousin is very meticulous. So every hour is planned. We're doing a walking tour. We're doing lunch. So the next day, I'm hoping to come home after lunch.
Unless she clears it.
And the walking tour of the hydranic system.
Okay.
I don't know what that is, but...
What is she going to do when she gets out of school?
My goddaughter? Oh, she's brilliant.
Does she have a job?
She was in an environmental engineering major.
Yep, me too.
And switched to business. So now she kind of did a double major. She's just a brilliant girl. I'm so proud of her. And she doesn't have a job yet, so she's looking for a job in the business field, but with emphasis on eco-friendly and green.
So why are you taking a hydrocortisone...
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what this is. I might give myself a hydrocortisone shot after this. No, it's a hydroponic system. I don't know. I just go with the
flow. Hydro, water, ponic.
I already googled water ponic. I know. So I think it's something on the campus that they want us to all see. I'm excited to be there. I'm going to try and make it back in time for the show.
Well, it'd be great if you could be there.
So. Now Dave's going too, so hey.
Yeah, and thank you, Dave. Well, I should say thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. Really the key to that.
I make those decisions.
That's funny you said that. When we come back, this is kind of cool. Al Jean from The Simpsons will be with us. The special this week, 27 seasons, and for the first time, Homer Simpson will appear live. And get a chance to talk to one of the key brains with The Simpsons. So stand by for that coming up here in just a second. Before we get to that, great athletes are smart. They see the whole playing field. You know what the great athletes in cars are? It's a Chevy lineup. the Chevy lineup get? Oh, somebody just told me you didn't do the plug. What, how do you get tickets to Zanies in Rosemont?
Oh, I apologize. Zanies.com or call the number at 847-813-0484.
And take your Chevy. Take your Chevy to Zanies in Rosemont. You can park it there where I parked the ice blue Chevy.
Blue Thunder.
Oh, Blue Thunder.
Wow.
Sorry, gotta, you said it before I did.
I got a new nickname.
You got a new nickname. Yeah, because the other one was old. It was from a
it was
former
from
producer.
Somebody who used to be on the show.
No longer on the show.
Wow, so I like that. Blue Thunder.
Okay, do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
So I'm driving the Blue Thunder to...
No, you're just saying,
so I still say the ice blue.
Yeah.
So I'm driving the ice blue to Zanies.
Blue Thunder.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll grow on me.
It does sound like a little bit like a porn name. But.
Blue Thunder. By the way, Kevin's birthday
the
is today.
Thunder Down Under.
Is today?
Yeah, Kevin's birthday is
it?
Today.
Yeah, there's some social media news on that.
There is?
Yes.
What?
Go ahead.
Is it bigger than the handstand contest between Sandberg and DeCoste?
No.
No, it's just apparently he was taken to dinner by the afternoon people.
What?
There's a picture posted there by...
Where'd they go to dinner? Rokon posted it on Facebook so he could take it as a tax deduction.
McDonald's.
It's on Twitter.
But I didn't make him a cake.
So the company can expense it?
Yeah, you have to document all of your social media dinners so you can use it as a company expense.
That's a good time.
But anyway, happy birthday, Kevin. How old's Kevin today?
16. According to this?
Physically. 27?
Who cares?
Right, okay. All right, moving on. Happy birthday, Kev.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Twenty-seven years. You know how long 27 years is? That's a long time. That makes the Flintstones running Bedrock look like nothing. Nothing, I'm telling you. And it's still funny. That's the amazing thing. If you go back and watch Simpsons reruns, you can see a rerun from the late 80s, the early 90s, the late 90s, the early 2000s, the late 2000s, or last week. And they hold up. They're funny. Al Jean, big part of the story. Producer, writer, director, big shot Hollywood mogul. Good morning, Al. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, and congratulations on a ridiculous run that just doesn't happen in show business.
It's insane. If I started and said, oh, we're going to run 27 years, people would have locked me up. I mean, back then you were lucky to get to 27 episodes, and it was the right place to be at the right time. Believe me.
We go back to the beginning of this story, and wasn't it a Tracy Ullman short that started the series?
Yes. Jim Brooks liked Matt DeGraney's work in Life in Hell, which is a newspaper strip.
Yep.
And hired him to do little bumpers, you know, before they go to commercial. So Matt based The Simpsons on his own family. And these little bumpers were hilarious. They were just, the audience loved them. And the director of the bumpers came to Jim at a party. He was kind of drunk and just said, you have to make this into a show. This is going to be the future of animation. And it was not an easy struggle. It took a lot of money and it took a lot of, you know, setbacks to get there. But... it was an idea. Time has come.
How close did you guys come to getting canceled?
Well, once it was on the air, it was an immediate hit. But the first show back was a disaster. I won't say who directed it, but it looked terrible. It wasn't funny. It was just I can't even say the words over the radio that were used to describe it.
Right.
So they had invested $10 million in this, and this is the first one that they've got, and they couldn't even show it to the network. They had to, like, completely reanimate it, and it became the last episode that aired in the first season. Once they got the second show back, Bart the Genius, and once they debuted with the Christmas show, both directed by David Silverman, who was the director I mentioned, the good director, that the then it took off like a shot.
The Simpsons are doing something that has never been tried before. Homer is going to appear live on the show. Now, you may be saying, Steve, I didn't know they weren't always live. No, it still is a tune, kids. But Homer is going... Now, I don't even know how you guys do this. Without giving up too much of the cool behind-the-scenes stuff, can you tell us how this is accomplished?
Yeah, there's a process called motion capture, which is that Dan Castellaneta, who voices Homer...
good Chicago guy.
...the questions over the phone. Yes, he is. Second City alum. And... He as he talks, a camera records his motions and immediately translates them into animation. So you will see Homer, like he looks on the show, talking directly to you or to the person asking the question. And the backgrounds, we did some sort of background jokes that are separate, that are pre-done. But Homer is live, and Homer is interacting and can talk about, you know, if the Cubs win 100-1 that day, he can talk about it.
Right. And then this is Sunday night, 7 o'clock Chicago time. So Marge, Lisa, and Bart basically just turn the show over to Homer, who stops eating and then starts addressing the viewers. It's very cool.
It's like the last 3 minutes of the show. I think that this process is great, but I don't think people would want 30 straight minutes. I think we got the right time allotted for it.
Well, on top of the fact that technically, you know, the amount of people, and Dave, you and Andre still doing TV every week, you know the amount of people it takes to get involved and put on television broadcasts, and three or four of them are actually important.
Oh, yeah, different writers, producers, editors every hour.
But there's hundreds of people involved in every TV production, and there's people making decisions. The fact that you're able to pull this off without anybody, you know, hurting somebody else, it's rather remarkable.
Yeah, it's actually been more complicated than I expected, but that's the fun of it in a way. You know, it's just that we're doing it because nobody else has done it. And I, you know, people are going like, what are you going to do? And I go, I'm not exactly sure. That's what's fun.
But keep in mind, Al Jean, for everybody else, keep in mind this is live as opposed to how much front time do you normally have to produce an episode?
Oh, well, we normally produce an episode over 8 months and rewrite it constantly, and everything's really thought through. So this part of it, yeah, is just going to be completely freewheeling.
That's very cool. I'm excited for you, and I'm a fan, and have been forever. John, do you have a question for Al?
I do, real quick, and you're talking about Homer. I don't know if it's the first season or the first couple of episodes. His voice was different. Why was the change made, and were there concerns that you changed a major character's
voice? Well, it was originally done by Don Knotts. I don't think people remember that. The Shakiest Gun in the West star. Yeah.
That sounds right.
It was originally, it was like Walter Meth.
Right.
Oh, boy, you know, and I think many voice actors, as Dan did in that case, start a voice by imitating somebody. And as they, you know, act, as they start getting into the character, that's a little hard in the sense that it's not natural. And Dan internalized Homer to where he became the character, you know, that he is now. It's you know, more natural. It's a character. It's not just an impression. And that's what happened.
Oh, well, congratulations, good. Al. It's a great story. Ridiculous run. 27 years of a TV series? Come on.
Not done yet.
Ridiculous. And you're not done yet, and it's still funny. Have fun Sunday. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll see you. That's Al Jean from The Simpsons. And for those of you going, how do I know the name? Well, how about The Simpsons movie? How about The Longest Daycare? And you remember the John Lovett show, The Critic? That was Al Jean's show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Should have asked him about Lovitz, because Lovitz is a lovely guy, but Lovitz is really uncomfortable to spend time with.
Remember he was in here and he brought his dog?
Yeah. And then when we go to say goodbye, there's this moment when you say goodbye to a guest where you get up and they do something. Oh, I don't know. I think it's called shake hands.
Or say goodbye.
And take a picture or just small talk for a second. As soon as the interview was over. And by the way, the interview went well, but as soon as the interview was over, he got up and walked out.
He just left.
That's why his new series, Socially Awkward, should be quite entertaining. It's 9:29. We'll be back with a big story in a moment. And Robin Ventura, your skipper for your front-running White Sox, coming off a tough one last night, but playing out of their minds. He's on in about 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long.
Was this in his rider? The skipper, Robin Venturi, insisted that we play this. We had to hire the band. Well, that had to be expensive.
He said he wouldn't come on without it.
The Chicago White Sox, best record in the American League, playing this afternoon. Get out, you know, you guys got to get out to the Sill. I mean, for the rest of the season, I want people out at the Sill. Dave will drive people to the Sill.
You know they're not there today, though.
No.
Okay,
that's why I said for the rest of the season.
Okay, I got you.
No, listen, if you want to go out today and sit in the park, that's fine as well. Robin Ventura joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, that was a 90s writer. You guys got to update one.
Oh, that's a 90s.
That was the 90s writer.
What do you want for your walk-up?
To do the show.
Your walk-up interview music now. You got a new choice?
I'm going to go ask some guys. We have a lot of guys that are into their music. I'll go get one from somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, congratulations on this amazing run continued. Last night you had a little bullpen hiccup. Was it the rain delay?
No, I mean we were up and you know they just kept coming. It's a tough ballpark, you know, as far as stopping people scoring runs. So you know, just one of those nights.
Sure, and those are going to happen. But one of the coolest things, I think, is seeing Todd Frazier starting to tear the cover off it. Maybe the best 210, 220 hitter in baseball?
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew he was going to heat up. And this is, you know, the thing when he heats up is between him and Abreu, there's going to be a lot of RBI opportunities. You know, he's starting to come up in some big situations. And, you know, he had a grand slam the other night as well as a homer. And, you know, they're both starting to swing it better, which is good news for us.
You ever come to you and talk third base? I mean, is he, you know, I mean, I know he's a decent defender as well, but do you guys ever talk about playing that spot?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about positioning more than anything. It's not, I mean, he plays a great third base, so I'm just wasting time if I'm trying to just give him tips. But, you know, we'll sit there and talk about certain hitters, and most of it's going to, you know, center around that he hasn't been in the American League. So there's certain guys of, you know, you might want him to play somewhere else, but, you know, I have to trust him if he sees something as far as, you know, the angle of the bat or something else that he feels like he wants to play somewhere else. You talk about it. So most of it's about that.
Are you guys doing a lot with analytics? I mean, how much has that changed since your days as a player? Because video became the thing while you were still playing, but is analytics a part of it now?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, both of them together become very important because you can get the analytics, but unless you see, you know, the play, you know, you can sit there and mark it on some chart, but, you know, you have to see the play and analyze it with your own eyes of where you want to play somebody, why you want to play them there, what kind of pitch it was. So I think they go hand in hand. I mean, video just came out when I was playing, so it was, you know, we were lugging around cassette tapes and right. All, you know, those videotapes and everything. Now it's everybody has an iPad and you can get anything you want on that. So it's a bit different. I mean, there's a lot more the sabermetrics part that goes with the shifting and where you're playing guys, which is much different than when I played.
So does he, Todd Frazier again, does he break out of this mini slump, early season thing, whatever, into this hot streak on his own? Or is it something one of the coaches or you talk to him about, you know, I'm seeing you do this or that?
No, this is him. I mean, you know, we're all, I mean, we got guys working with him, but yeah. This is him. You know, he's the guy that has to do it. He's the one that has to get the feeling. And, you know, he's a tough guy, man. I mean, mentally very tough and confident and, you know, knew it was going to happen. It's just frustrating when it doesn't happen. But I think anytime a guy goes through this and gets out of it, he's much better for it than if he was just cruising along and then hit one later.
Seems like he'd be a fun guy to have in the clubhouse, too. Is that true or not?
He is very fun. We got quite a few of those guys. He's right up there. He's a big talker and New Jersey guy. So, I mean,
well, it's hard to shut those guys up.
Yeah. They're tough to keep quiet. But it's very enjoyable guy to have in a clubhouse.
Talking with Robin Venturi of Chicago White Sox leading the American League. Dave, when Robin first came up, mm-hmm. they would actually have guys chip into blocks of stone a guy's hitting tendencies.
Right.
And then they would have one of the stronger interns run those to the coaches to show to the players.
Remember that. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot.
We were a lot stronger back then, too.
Robin, talking about guys in the clubhouse, is Brett Laurie as amped up all the time as he looks if you watch this team, at least when the cameras are on him?
It doesn't matter if a camera is on him or not. He is amped up. He's ready. I think he's already in uniform, ready to go, and he might have grass stains on him. I mean, it's just, he is ready to go. And I'm kind of looking for a day where maybe I can get him a day off, and, you know, he wants none of it. He is ready to go early in the morning, and, you know, I think it's great. You know, I think guys feed off of that. There's a certain mentality that comes with that, and it would be one thing if he didn't consistently do it, but it's every single day, and I think that's the most important part of it is he has that, Frazier has that, and, you know, I think everybody else, you get the feeling, and you're right along with him.
He's the no more soda pop guy. No more soda pop.
No. Yeah.
It's too amped.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the other thing. I don't really want to sit him on the bench because he might end up over by me, which isn't a good thing.
You know, another guy that you picked up, and it was, I don't think it got a ton of attention at the time, was Austin Jackson. And what has he meant? Obviously, he's hit the ball well over the last during this recent hot streak, but he's also made some big plays for you in the field.
Yeah, and really the idea when we got him is we were going to have him in center. We know he's a good defender. And, you know, you're looking at a veteran guy that can come in and give you the veteran type of bat, which is taking pitches, going the other way, you know, grinding out at bats, seeing pitches. And, you know, he's been that and more. And it helped us by moving Eaton over to right, which really, I mean, if anybody really saw all this coming, you know, you're crazy. But we knew he could do it. It's just he's become such an elite defender in right field, and he's taken to it, and you know you can see it with your eyes. I mean, there's numbers that go with it, but your eyes are the best judge, and he can get the ball down the line, and you know, run and go get it. He can do all that stuff.
Tim Lincecum is a very hot name now, and I suppose there's three or four teams that want after him, and you guys may be one of them. I know it's not your job to go look at these guys and pick him up, but everybody seems to think he's still got some game. Would he fit this group?
I think he'd fit the group. I mean, whether you're going to be able to get him in here to pitch is a whole other thing. So right now we're just focused on, you know, what we're doing. I don't get into all that, but I don't think anybody that could help us we would turn down.
I'm really happy for you, you know, and all the success this year. And I know you're never willing to take any credit for it, but it doesn't happen without a great manager as well. And I think that's you. And I couldn't be more thrilled for you.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's not me, though. It's the players got to go out and play.
I knew you couldn't take it. I knew you couldn't take the compliment. It made you uncomfortable.
It is. It gets a little uncomfortable. But, I'm happy with what the guys are doing, and you just kind of let them go.
And for everybody last year who thought Robin was done, I can't believe how much smarter he is this year. It's really incredible. I don't know what you did in the offseason, but it must have worked.
Well, you know, it's a lot of vegetables, you know, things like that.
Eating like that California boy you are.
Kale.
Yeah, there you go.
All that kale.
All that kale. All right, man, I know you got to run. Thanks for the time.
All right. Great.
See you later. That's Robin Ventura.
Do you tell them in the pre-interview to say that?
I didn't talk to him.
He slipped. I'm not kidding you. Yeah. I saw him. He slipped Jake, who's running the tech side of this all day long. He slipped him $20 to get him to tell Robin Ventura to work kale into the discussion. And now, because of that, because I didn't think Ventura would do it, because I've known him forever, I owe Robin Ventura $100 because he said kale during the interview. Mm-hmm.
Maybe donate it to the White Sox charities or something. Unbelievable.
We'll remind you our three finalists are for Karaoke, The Return. Now it's personal. Karaoke, The Final, Friday morning. We'll give you the three finalists' names. When we come back, it's 9:51. Bill and Wendy on the way, too, on 720 WGN.
Singing in your car. In your car. Singing in your car. It's called Karaoke. Call the Cochran Show. The Cochran Show. Call the Cochran Show. It's called Karaoke.
My concern is for new listeners to the show who hear that the first time, they think you suck.
I think I suck.
There's no... John's the musical director of the show. His stuff's great.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
But that was not brilliant.
We couldn't find the original one. I don't even... It's all out of sync and...
Did Kevin steal it?
So, Jake, did you check with Kevin Paul on where the original one was? Mr. Birthday, all liquored up from his big dinner with Roe?
Yeah, the birthday boy said he was going to get it to me.
Uh-huh.
I know he's listening.
Probably too busy with this.
He's told me he's going to get me a lot of things.
He's probably too busy with his four-hour workday and then off to a baseball game.
You notice that he used to get in at about 10:30 in the morning, 10 a.m. Now then it got to about 11, noon. Now he shows up at 1:57.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Who's his boss?
Well, he and Violetta have to split Rose errand runs, depending on the day. It's 9:56.
Sometimes he has to give him a ride, too.
Yeah, Kevin sounds great on Roe Show. I don't know how often you guys hear the show.
I totally agree.
I think he sounds fantastic. He's doing a great job. Roe, I'm not that fond of. But Roe's new. Roe and Anna will be with us Sunday night at the Zanies in Rosemont. You can go to zanies.com or what's the number?
You call 847-813-0484.
On stage with you doing a duet as part of the show is the winner of these three finalists, which will be determined, the ultimate winner will be determined Friday morning.
Yes. And do you want to know our three finalists?
Yes, I do.
Carolyn Larson.
Woo.
Diane Warren.
Ow.
And Tracy Reese.
And what did they sing?
Carolyn sang, this was just corrected, The Way You Look Tonight.
Okay.
Diane Warren sang Bohemian Rhapsody,
yes,
which was great. And then Tracy Reese, a wonderful rendition of Bobby McGee. Yeah.
All right. And is that what they'll sing on Friday? Are you gonna, can they switch it up?
I'm going to let them switch it up, but I want them to be more. I want them to be comfortable. So if that, if that's what they want to sing, that's okay.
I forgot. Did we have music for them last year? Did they do it a cappella?
They did it a cappella.
Okay.
It was a Chevy a cappella.
You know what? That's not a bad name for the model.
Wasn't Dennis DeYoung involved last year too?
No, he was already with a big band called Styx for years.
Ah, right. I've heard of them. Yeah, no, but didn't they sing a song?
Yeah, we did. That's true. We did. Lady. Yeah, he was on the line.
He was?
Yeah, he was on the line
he
that day.
He might have been judging too.
Yeah, they were, because I remember the winner kind of was like, oh my God. Lori Conan, Lori O'Connor Steffens,
hyphen
Steffens.
Well, I'll call him, see if he'll do it again.
So. Okay, let me get right on that.
No, I said I'll call him.
We're pretty tight.
It's not going to take.
I remember
call.
When I took a tour of his home.
Yeah, then the police
recording
came.
Studio.
I told John like 10 years ago
because
his son was interested in seeing like this cool studio that Dennis
got in
his
first
his
guitar. He was 12.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I told John 10 years ago. Yeah, I'll call him, set it up. I haven't gotten around to calling.
Yeah.
Well, John, you went anyway, right?
But in your defense, Krista, that was 12 years ago.
Yeah. I am busy. I got a lot going on. It's 9:58. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy in just a second on 720 WGN.